Thank you, Sister Susan. That's all. Most important thing in life is to have Jesus. Well, on a personal note to Brother Moran today, I'd like to say that I'm thankful to hear that he is doing better and improving. I know if he's able that he is watching this or will watch it, and I just want him to know my love for him. You know, he's been a great example in my life for the last 30 years or so. You know, I don't see anybody could call into question his love for the Lord, his love for this church and its congregation. And I want to thank him for that today. I want to thank the Lord for such a man as his Brother Moran. And I pray that he will soon be able to be back with us and worship with us. I know many of you, and probably none of you know more than me, wish that he was here today. But he's not. But you know, the Lord can be with him up there in the hospital room just as good as he can here. I pray that the Lord will pass by his way and he can feel his spirit. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord today. I ask that y'all do pray for me, that the things that I might say would be what God would have me to say. You know, I don't know over the last day and a half how many times this Friday night that Lord, give me some scriptures, and I don't know how many different ways I've preached it in my head. And I don't think one of them been the same. You know, but I pray that the Lord will put me out of the way, and he'll just help me to bring forth what he had had me to say. You know, I realized, and I hadn't heard a preacher that I have any confidence in that thought they could do anything without the Lord. And I know I need his help today. And I ask y'all continue to pray. The Lord just help me. I'm going to take a very familiar reading lesson here from the 14th or 16th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. I think I'll read about five verses here, but these are the things the Lord had put on my heart. And beginning with the 13th verse of that 16th chapter, it said, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' He said unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.'" You know, as we look at these scriptures here, Jesus asked his disciples two questions in these five verses here. And both of them are pretty similar. He asked, "Who do men or the world say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And the second question, he said, "But who do you say that I am?" And you know, as we read this, we noticed that they were two different answers. One of them was based upon the carnal mind and what experience that maybe these people had with around Jesus. I tell you what, both of them were based upon an experience. Jesus, they answered and said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. You know, as I thought about this, the world today is, they're searching for things. And Brother Sampson, you were right. There was troubles back in them days, and those people had lots of troubles. But here come Jesus upon the scene, and he got to doing miraculous miracles before them, doing great works. They took notice of it. And the word quickly, it spread around. You know, people don't use the text like they do today, the way the message is spread around. You know, they spread quickly. People back in that day would actually talk to one another, I believe. But I tell you, the things that Jesus was doing, the people were talking about. You know, I said that they were based on different experiences. And, you know, these people were basing what they know of Jesus off of what they knowed in their mind, what they could see, what they heard, and what others maybe had told them. And they knowed that these were works of God. You know, I thought about Nicodemus when he come to Jesus by night. He declared, he said, "For we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man could do these mighty works unless God be with him." And you know, they learned these things or had a knowledge in their mind that Jesus was a mighty prophet, mighty man, did miraculous things. You know, it lists John the Baptist here and Elias and Jeremiah, and these prophets were prophets of God that he had sent to the people of Israel, his people, and they forewarned them. They give them spiritual guidance, and these were more of a national heroes, maybe you might put it that way. They had knowledge of them and what great things they had did. You read back through there and you see what great works that they had did. You know, Jesus himself said about John the Baptist that no man born of woman, they're not a greater than him. He did mighty works. You know, Herod had even had him beheaded in these things that Jesus was doing had got back to him, and he had under the impression that it was John the Baptist risen from the dead. That's what the word says. But you know, it is important to for us to have a mental knowledge or a knowledge of Jesus in our mind. You know, both of these, we need to study and talk about and meditate on the great things Jesus had did. You know, if you want to know something or what God's like, you know, my Bible in the Hebrew letter, it says that he is the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person. I tell you, if you want to know all you can know about God, you need to study about Jesus. He's the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person. All that this finite mind of ours that we have can understand about God, we can see in our Lord and Savior Jesus. You know, I'm thankful today that I growed up in a family and amongst a people that they had a desire for me to know about Jesus. You know, but there's a great difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. I tell you, that's the difference. The difference in the way these questions were answered. He said, "Whom do ye say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, and he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Anointed, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood didn't reveal this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." You know, I'm thankful that I growed up amongst the people that knew about Jesus, but most of all knew Him. And they taught me about Jesus. Even from my youth up, I see some of my Sunday school teachers, Sister Janet, good to see you. She knew Jesus. And she had a desire to teach me about Jesus. You know, my family, they knew Jesus, and they had a desire to teach me about Jesus. This church, there were many in it that knew Jesus and had a desire to teach me about Jesus in the hope of one day that I would come to know Him. Not just about Him, but I would know Him. There's a great difference between knowing about and knowing the Lord. You know, I said these events, you know, you can study and it's a good thing. It's a good thing for us to learn all we can about Jesus. You know, and we need to spread that. We need to broadcast it. We need to preach it. We need to witness. Just as these people, there was a great stare about the things that Jesus had did, what He could do. And they were people talking about it. People, we need to be talking about what Jesus has, can, and will do. Brother Sampson, yes, the world's had trouble all along. I tell you what, but Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. I am the Lord, I change not. That's what He said in Malachi. It's the same God today that is able to meet our every need as the one that we read about in this Bible. You know, when I enjoyed studying and meditating upon these couple of verses or a couple of chapters before this reading here about the great things Jesus was doing. You know, there was a group of 5,000 men, not including women and children. They were out in the wilderness and they didn't have no food. And Jesus said, "Well, bring me what you got." They had five loaves and two little fishes. And they brought it to Jesus, and He blessed it and broke it. Another occasion, there was 4,000 men. Don't know how many women and children, but the crowd was a little less. They had seven loaves and a few fishes. I don't know how many it was. But you know, our God is able for the greater the need and the worse things look, He can provide. You know, with the 5,000 and the five loaves and two fishes, they picked up seven baskets full that's left over after all had eaten got full. And with the 4,000, they had seven loaves, and they picked up five baskets full of bread. You know, our God can meet our needs, Brother Sampson. Same as he did back then. We look at things and the news is bad, isn't it? Boy, it'll get us sidetracked and it'll have us off in one direction. You know, this same Simon Bar-Jonah here, just a little while before that, you know, he had a revelation from God who Jesus was. He had an experience. God revealed it to him. I thank God that God is a revealer. You know, he, just a few days before that, he's out on a boat and it's a little stormy and they seen somebody coming across, walking on the water, and it was Jesus. Peter, he said, be not afraid. And he said, Jesus, that's you. Bid me to come unto you. He said, come. You know, and Peter was, he was doing well. He was walking on the water towards Jesus. And then the things of the world got to, in his mind. He got to looking at the things around him. The wind, the boisterous waves, and he began to sink. You know, he had had this revelation with the from God of who Jesus was. He knew Jesus. And still yet, his faith. He got distracted by the things of this world. People, I'm telling you today that I have a problem with that too. The cares of this world gets us distracted. The cares of this world will take our focus and our mind off of Jesus. It can happen to us. It does. It does me. I'm sure if I asked for a show of hands, I'd see a lot of them in here. You know, we're all just human. You know, all these, the John the Baptist, Elias, they had times. They were great men of God, but they had times that things and the situations of this world, it brought them down. It tested and tried their faith. Oh, if it did to those great heroes of Israel, don't you believe it won't happen to you? But you know, old John the Baptist, he was in prison. And, he was the one that was able to introduce the Lord Jesus to the world. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. I tell you, that wasn't revealed to him by flesh and blood. But God the Father, God the Spirit. No, but he's in prison. He things look bad, and he come up with a go ask Jesus if he the one come. He's the Messiah, or should we look for another? Jesus said, "You go tell John." He said, "The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dead are risen, and the poor have the gospel preached unto him." And you know that satisfied John. He got to thinking about that revelation that at one time God had revealed to him. You know, I thank God that I had that God revealed to me who Jesus was. I thank God that I was taught about Jesus. You know, Paul writing in the Roman letter, he says, how can they believe in whom they've not heard, and how can they hear without a preacher? You know, it's important for us people to broadcast the news of Jesus. You know, but I'm thankful that I growed up in that, as I said. But you know, I'm thankful that one June the 4th, 1977, I got a revelation. That revealed, that he disclosed. He opened it up for me. You know the first revelation I got? I was sitting back over there probably about where Brother Gary's sitting, and the Spirit of God got a hold of me, and I got under conviction. He revealed that to me, that I was lost and undone, and I stood in need of a Savior. You know, I had heard all my life that about conviction, about seeking the Lord, calling upon Him, putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, and being saved. I didn't understand it, but I was taught it. But I tell you what, that night I got a little understanding of what it meant to be lost and undone. I had an experience. You know, I said, God, He is a great revealer. You know, I think a lot about all that we see, the earth, the heavens. You know, God revealed all that. He spoke. And it was. You know, His prime creation was man. All other things were created to support man. And you know, these people today, how sad it is to think that a God that could speak all this into existence couldn't speak to their heart, and they know it. People, I want to declare unto you today, when God reveals, when He opens it up, when He discloses it, you'll know it. I knew it. I'd heard my brother and cousin talking about being lost and how it felt. I believe with my mind, I had a knowledge of it, but I tell you, that night, through the preaching of the gospel and the drawing power of the Holy Spirit, it was revealed unto me, and I knew it. Oh, Brother David Anderson, he got up, and I don't know if he gets, just the Lord brought him to me. But I knowed when he get up where he was coming to me. I wasn't wanting to go and bow or seek the Lord. I knowed I should, but, you know, the flesh, it didn't seem like what I wanted to do, but... the closer He got, the heavier that burden got on me. God just kept revealing. I don't remember Him but saying two words, "Are you lost?" And I tell you what, the best description that I could give with that would be like you took a can of gas and pitched it in the fire. What took place in my soul? I mean, it just erupted. I made my way to the altar, and that's the first revelation I had that I was lost. No, no. But I tell you what, there was a space of time that I really couldn't, I can't explain it to you people. But I went from that trouble and sorrow, that broken heart and contrite spirit, to a peace that surpassed all understanding in the twinkling of an eye. And I found myself wondering, where did all that go? What happened to it? It was gone. As I was laying bowed there, and you know, things started to sound a little different to me. I feel different, sure. You know, I remember them starting to sing, "I'll Fly Away." And I felt myself wanting to sing along with them. You know, that song had a different meaning to me after God revealed. I mean, He opened it up. He disclosed to me who Jesus was when He saved my soul. And I knowed I had passed from death unto life. I didn't understand it, but I knowed something had happened. Big difference between knowing about Jesus and coming down to a time and the place through the dealing of God and the revelation of God that you know Him. I tell you, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. I understand what that meant. I don't fully understand it. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. Jesus said, I give unto you my peace. He said, not as the world gives unto you. You know, things you get of this world, they're going to fade away. They're soon going to vanish. But I tell you what, the peace that Jesus gives us, it's eternal. A peace is more than just a state of being in. I'm telling you, it is a feeling that you can feel. It's a peace. It's a state that that we're in. We're at peace. But I tell you what, it's something that you can feel. You know, Jesus, He left it unto us. He don't take it away. He don't give it like the world gives it. You know, I thank God for His revealing, Him disclosing, Him opening up through the drawing of His Holy Spirit that I was lost and undone, and through the prayer of faith and trusting in the Lord Jesus and Him rolling that burden away and putting that peace in my heart, that He give me that peace, that state. You know, I've had some experience this last year that I'm still in that state of peace. And it's an experience, people. Brother Sampson, things are, they get bad, and we, poor, pitiful me, we get distracted. You know, 1st of March, I got a phone call, middle of the night, probably 1 o'clock or so, I guess, a little after midnight. I pick my phone up, and it says where it's from, home, Mom and Dad. I answered it, and there's a voice I didn't recognize. He asked who I was. Mike, wait, it's him, yeah. He said, I'm a paramedic. You need to get out to your parents. I know what was happening. I put on my clothes. Kathy got up. She heard the call. She got up. We headed that way. And I tried to pray. We got there and walked in. They had trouble times. There's lots of things that we can see that they really hurt us. They distract us. They can draw us away, can't they? I walked in there. He forewarned me as he met me in the drive there. Said, now we still got the equipment on him that we was trying to revive him with, but you can go in. I walk in the door, and there lay my daddy on the floor. My heart was breaking, but my peace I leave unto you. I can't explain it, but I tell you what, there was a peace inside that surpassed all understanding. How can you be heartbroken and at peace at the same time? Well, I had heard him tell many a times, about God revealing to him who Jesus was as an 11-year-old boy. He had an experience with the Lord Jesus. Not only did he know about him, but he knew him. I heard him express it this one time this way, that a few weeks after he was saved, that he was baptized in Rhody Creek over in Emerson County, and it's noted for being cool. It's spring fed. He got saved on a Tuesday in November, so this was in November. And this is how sure he was of the revelation. I thought he expressed it real well of what God had did for him. He said, "You would have an easier time convincing me that that water was warm. You can convince me that that water was warm before you can convince me that something on that Tuesday night didn't happen to me, that God didn't save his soul." That's revelation, people. Our God, the Lord Jesus, he's a revealer. I tell you, you can know about him, but I tell you what, you can know him. You can know him. And a forgiveness and pardon of sin. Have eternal life. You know, both of these questions, it's important that we know about Jesus, and but it's more important that we know him. You know, one of them, you won't get into heaven without. You'll have to know Jesus and the forgiveness and pardon of sin. It's important that you know about Jesus. But I tell you what, it's of the utmost importance that you know him as your personal Savior. You know, I had another event here just about a month ago where grandmother wasn't doing well. I went out to her house early that morning, and she was resting. Me and LaVon was sitting there, and she noticed in a few minutes, LaVon said, "Boy, she's being awful still." I looked over there. She is in her chair. I got up, and went over and tried to put my fingers, I'm no doctor, on her neck, see if I could feel a pulse, and she's still. She wasn't breathing. I guess LaVon could see the look on my face. And she said, "Is she okay?" I tell you, I had a peace about me. My response was, "She's very okay. She's gone." I'd heard her tell about a time when God had brought her to a place of repentance, granted her the faith, the trust, and believe in Jesus, roll that burden away, put that peace in her heart. You know, that's a good answer. She was very okay. I tell you what, if you know Jesus and a forgiveness and pardon of sin, when you close your eyes in death here, you'll open them in the presence of Jesus, the one that did all these great works. I tell you, his greatest work is the salvation of the soul. But I tell you what, Brother Sampson, the best is yet to come, isn't it? We might get tripped up. We might get distracted in this world, and things will draw us off. I'd like to encourage us as Christians that know the Lord, not just know about him, but to know him, to not let the things of this life draw us away. Let's keep our focus on Jesus. Oh, it happens to us. But I tell you what, he's a revealer. I pray that I may have honored God in the things that I may have said. It may help somebody in some way. I don't know. I tried to do what the Lord put on my heart. Tried to say what the thoughts that he had put on my heart. You know, it's his from here on. His word won't return void. I pray that somebody got something out of it, someone. Brother Wayne, we might have a strong. You know, the Lord might be dealing with somebody today. You know, the first revelation, He'll let you know you're lost and stand in need. If He is, my heart's desire would be that you wouldn't let anything stand in your way of seeking the Lord till you know Him, till you found Him. Then you spend the rest of your life, somebody asks you who Jesus is, and you say, He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Not just words out of your mouth, but something that you can feel and you can know. This is a knowing way, people. God reveals it, you'll know it. Now, go ahead, Brother Wayne.
190. 190.